Welcome to the Katie Bulmer Cook Podcast Show. Fitness, workouts, nutrition, business, interviews, entrepreneurship, and of course, plenty of northern banter. Here she is, your host, Katie Bulmer Cook.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Katie Bulmer Cook Podcast Show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to everyone who's listened to previous episodes. There's been some cracking feedback. Keep it coming. Let us know what guests you want to have on the podcast. Tweet me at KatieBulmer1 and let me know. Now, I've got a really cool guest lined up for this episode of the podcast. My guest on this episode, I've been friends with for a long time. I haven't seen very much of him lately because he's found himself in another country. So without any further hesitation, I'd like to introduce you to the lovely Tony Jeffries. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Katie. It's great to speak to you after, I think it's been a couple of years since we spoke, so it's great to hear your voice again and talk to you.
Hear another Macam accent while you're on the other side of the pond.
I know, right? It's very rare you hear Macam accents anymore. When I've been living in Los Angeles now for 2.5 years. I haven't been home for 2.5 years. It's good to listen to you.
So, Tony, can you tell the listeners how you started out in the fitness boxing arena and how you've gone from where you started out to where you are now?
So, when I was 10 years old, I got dragged to a boxing gym. From there, I started boxing and I started fighting. When I was 11, I had 96 fights in my amateur career. I won 7 national titles. I won a European gold medal. And the biggest achievement of my life is I won a Olympic bronze medal in the Beijing Olympics 2008. I turned professional. I had 10 pro fights undefeated and 10 professional fights. And I had to retire due to hand injuries. I had very bad hands since I was young, but they were getting worse and worse as my career went on. And I had to retire. But I was training out in LA just before I retired for my last 3 professional fights. And I fell in love with the place. So me and my wife, we moved out here. And since then, I ended up opening a gym in Los Angeles, in Santa Monica, the desirable area of Santa Monica. The gym was booming. I only opened it a year and a half ago, called Box and Burn. It's a boxing fitness gym. And it was booming that much. People were queuing out the door to get in, and we ended up opening another one in an even more desirable area called Brentwood in Los Angeles. So now I own the two highest rated gyms in LA. Life's going great. It's like living on holiday.
Yeah.
So that's my story in a nutshell, really.
And I think that's your story condensed, like, into a really short version. Like, it seems like you have done absolutely tons, even in just the last few years since you moved. But from your boxing career, Tony, what's been your biggest highlight? Is it your Olympic medal, or is there something else that really stood out in your boxing career?
The Olympic medal is definitely the highlight. I mean, When I was 14 years old, I got put on an 8-year training program to go to the 2008 Olympics with another 50 young boxers. So I'm a 14-year-old with 50 other boxers getting boxing for England on the world-class program. And them 8 years was a long 8-year. You know, I had 3 surgeries on my body. And out of the 50 kids, there was only me and another kid, Stephen Smith, who went the full 8 years on the program and who ended up... Who done the full thing. Steve never went to the Olympics. I was the only one who actually went to the Olympics, who was on the full programme for the full 8 years. There was other kids who come in during the 8 years and got on the programme. But so to have a goal for that length of time and then finally qualify for the Olympics was massive. Then to come away with the medal was like the icing on the cake, really. So that was definitely the highlight of me boxing career. I mean, since I won the Olympic medal, it was a life changer. You've seen all the stuff I've been up to, and it's crazy. I never ever expected things to turn out the way they were, you know, the way they have.
So when you retired, did you always know that you would want to still pursue boxing in some shape or form, whether it be teaching others or still participating to a level yourself? Was that always clear cut in your mind, or were there other possibilities, were there other opportunities that you thought about?
No, I mean, when I retired from boxing, honestly, the last thing I wanted to do was anything to do with boxing. You know, I got depressed, so I got forced to retire. I was depressed for a long time, and I was down, and I just kind of disliked boxing altogether. And when I was a professional as well, I got ripped off for some money, and I drew one of my fights, it's a long story, but the promoter messed us around, and he said I was boxing in 6 rounder, it should have been a 6 rounder. Anyway, so boxing left a really sour taste in my mouth, so I didn't really want to continue it after I finished boxing. But boxing is all I know. I've done nothing in school. I was a bit of a tour rag, as you know, Katie. And one thing led to another, and I kept stop with boxing because, like I say, it's all I knew. And now my life is better than ever. If I could box again, I wouldn't box again. I'm 29 years old, but I wouldn't do it because life now is just absolutely amazing. Living in California, put me shorts and t-shirts on, every day, going outside. It's just absolutely amazing, you know.
Yeah. They're talking about like the sort of the changing pace and changing lifestyle between the UK and the US. In terms of the fitness industry, what do you think are the main differences between what we do in the UK and what's going on over there? Do you think there are any differences? Do you think one side of the pond is better than the other? Or do you think they're just worlds apart?
I think the worlds apart in the fact that I'm talking about Sunderland, where we were from. In Sunderland, fitness is not a big part of people's lives. Mm. It's really not. I mean, you get the odd few people. You'll know a lot of them because you're like one of the top people in the fitness industry, in not just the northeast and the country, but in Sunderland in general. It's not a big thing. Where I'm living now in Santa Monica in Los Angeles, it's one of the main parts of everyone's life. Every person is in the fitness industry. They want to keep fit. You can't go outside without seeing someone running past you or cycling, and you know. So I think that's a huge difference. Where it's just like a huge part of people's lives and the culture in this part of America. And now I know like this is like a 1% part of America. There's lots of places in America where like obesity is huge and people don't look after the bodies. But from my experience where I'm from, it's ridiculous how many people want to keep fit and how fit people are.
Yeah. So do you find you're getting more people through your doors at Box and Burn who are fitness fanatics? Like, it's their third place. They're either at home, they're at work, or they're training. Or do you also get, like, a core of people who are really overweight? Like, the people that we see and we read about in magazines and online that are, you know, really obese and want to come to your gym to go on like a real transformation journey? Is it those people, or is it the super fit, or do you get both?
No, it's the first, really. You said, that was a great way of putting it. They're either at home, at work, or in the gym. It's very rare in this area of America where I live. I don't know if you know much about Santa Monica, but Santa Monica and Brentwood, it's like the 1% of the richest areas in America, like in the world, really. Everyone's keeping fit and getting in shape, so we very rarely get the obesity, the people coming in wanting to lose weight. We get a few people, very few people do that, but it's ridiculous how fit and how in shape people are and who come to the gym. We push them so hard in our workouts and they just want to come back and do it again and again. When I was in Sunderland, before I moved to America, I don't know if you remember, I did a little fitness camp with some women's boxer size class, and it was alright, but like the difference between the people here who keep fit and the people in Sunderland is like it's miles apart.
Yeah, and I noticed, because I follow you on Instagram as well, and I noticed you do a kids class. Is it kids gloves?
Yeah, kids gloves.
So that was something else I want to ask you about, because in my opinion, at home, I don't think the kids are encouraged as much as they could be in a sport, in a recreational exercise. Do you think there's a difference between the UK and what's going on in America? Do you think there's more uptake? Do you think parents are encouraging their kids more to get in, yeah, in the exercise? Are you inundated with kids coming into classes?
Yeah, well, I think the big difference with America and the UK is, well, I know it is if you're good at sports in America, you get a thing called a scholarship, which gets you into school for free. So if you're a good athlete, or you're good at any sport, like from volleyball to basketball to baseball, there aren't many different sports, American football, soccer, what they call over here, they get into school for free, so the parents want to push them into sports, but the kids want to do the sports as well. Like, I'm living in the sun out here, so every weekend you see a park, but it'll be full of, like, baseball teams or different sort of teams with kids playing sports, keeping fit. I think it's, like, now in England, we're being cold, and, I mean, it's no excuse, really, for a parent not to push the kids in it. But when it's cold and it's raining, it's hard for kids to get out and go and have a game of football or to play a different sort of sport. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I must admit, before we've recorded this podcast, I've just stood on the sideline watching Heidi play football for an hour, and it was completely freezing. And you can see why people think, oh, it's cold, we'll just stay and we'll give it a miss. Because it was absolutely freezing, but I am determined that she's going to be a professional female footballer when she's older. So it was worth standing on the sidelines for while she was the only girl. So that's interesting to say that there is a difference in culture with kids' exercise as well. And I wanted to ask you, what do you find at Box and Burn are your most popular sessions? What do people like the most? Do they like sessions where it's purely boxing? Are they more into HIIT training, or are they all equally as popular?
Well, no, it's boxing. That's what we specialise in. We only really do three types of class. We do a kickboxing class, we do a HIIT class, a high intensity training class, and we do the boxing class. The boxing class is the money maker. It's funny, what time is it now? So it's 10 to 9 in England now. It's 10 to 1. In America now. Mm. I'm sitting in my car outside the gym because it's quiet. I'm looking in at the gym now, and we've got about 25 people at 10 to 1 in the afternoon, all doing the boxing class now. That's what I'm watching. Mm. Have you ever done a boxing workout, Katie?
Yeah.
How good is it?
Like, amazing. It gives you a brilliant buzz afterwards.
Yeah. So the thing with boxing is people think, which I can see why they think, you just work on your arms. You stand there, you punch, and you just work on your arms. But you're not. When you get taught it correctly, which we teach, you work on your full body, you're moving your feet, you work on your core when you're turning your hips. And also, I know there's a lot of listeners who's into sports and trainers, like you said, a lot of trainers listening. I would say boxing is the best workout that there is. You're not only just, like people get bored of training, they do. But with boxing, the good thing about it is you're not just training to get fit. You're learning something as well. So you're learning how to punch. You're learning different combinations, how to roll, how to slip punches. So it's always going to get better for you because you're getting better at it rather than just getting better at training, whatever kind of training you do. Boxing, you're getting better at punching. You can learn how to punch harder. You're getting fitter. You're getting stronger. I think it's the best workout in the world.
Yeah.
I really do.
So you learn a new skill as well as getting fit and getting good results. So obviously boxing's really popular, especially where you're living. But just looking a little bit further outside of the boxing arena, in America, have you seen any fitness crazes that you don't think we might have seen here yet?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a thing called the Bar Method. I don't know much about it. Have you heard of that?
Spell it out. Is it B-A-R-R-E?
I'm not even sure. I just know it's called the bar method. It's like, I think it's like ballet dancing where you hold.
Yes, that's starting to come out over here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I think that's getting pretty big over here. But I mean, obviously you know yoga. Yoga is absolutely massive over here. That's one of the biggest fitness things over here. The biggest activities people do in my area. Yoga's huge. But I can't really think of anything. What else there might be?
Anything bizarre? Anything like a little bit quirky?
I'll tell you what's bizarre. There's a gym not far from us. The client, they give them these like springs on the shoes, and they like run about like, as if they're bouncing. Do you know that Oscar Pistorius? I think he was called the medalist who murdered his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're like. They're not like big like these false legs were, but they're that kind of thing where you can have a bounce on them. You tie them to the bottom of your shoes and you run around the streets bouncing around, which is bizarre.
That sounds cool.
looks stupid, but I bet it's a lot of fun.
Do people stop and stare, or is it just that standard in America that they just think, I'll let you get on with it?
It's that standard in America. Where I live, like, so you've got Santa Monica, and then you've heard of Venice Beach, right?
Yeah.
Venice Beach is where, like, it's just full of weirdos, full of crazy people. So now, like, there'll be someone walking on the street screaming their head off, and, like, you'll not even look twice at them. There'll be someone with you don't even look twice at them. Like, these people bouncing on them, you don't even look twice at them now. But at first, I was like, is this for real? This is mad, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But you kind of get used to it.
Yeah. I don't think they'd have the same reaction if someone was doing that in the bridges and the sun and water.
Nah, they'd be getting...
Might get a slightly different reaction. Okay, so I'll ask you about fitness quizzes. I can cross that off my list. Popular sessions. So when you first opened your gym, when you opened the first one, how did you get people through the door? What was your strategy? Did you go out flyering? Did you get on local radio? Were you in the press? What was it?
So that's the thing. Like with this being an Olympian over in England, in Sunderland, like the only Olympian ever, you remember I was used to being in the newspaper all the time, so I got pressed pretty easy. Over here, I'm like there's that many big deals in sports and everything. No one gives a shit really about the Olympics and all that. So that was hard. So that would be my first thing to do, would try and get pressed on it, but I can't do that. So the way we did it, we started with a boot camp. We had a boot camp outside in Santa Monica on the bluffs next to the beach, where everyone's running past, working out. We'd have flyers there for people to pick up. So we got a few clients through that. We'd fly in people's cars. We got a few clients through that. Now, our number one thing is a website called Yelp.
I don't know if
you've heard of that.
No, I haven't heard of that. Tell us more about Yelp.
So Yelp is a review website, but it's a really, really legit one. Everyone uses it in America. It's where people write reviews about how good your business is or how bad your business is. But it's really legit, so you can't. I couldn't go on there and give myself 10 reviews. You need to have your phone number. You need to have your email, the really secure that it's real people leaving real reviews. So it's for restaurants, for anything you can imagine, any service you get, there's a Yelp for it. And so now we've got like 100 reviews on there. Like we've got like 99 of them's 5-star, and we've got 1 4-star on there. So people's really loving our product, and we get so much client out for that. And then word of mouth as well. We do a referral program. Like our membership is $149 a month, which is about £100. And if someone brings a friend in who signs up for that as well, we give them $25 off. But that's not really where we get a lot of clients from. We get a couple from that. But one thing I would advise to fitness people not to do, which ruins so many gyms over here, is things like, I don't know if you've got Groupon in England.
Yes. This is interesting. Tell us your take on Groupon.
I would never do a Groupon or like a Living Social. There's a few of the websites over here. Because the people who, I feel like the people who come from that is people who just want deals. They want cheap deals and they wait for them. I think it devalues your business. I look at Box and Burn as like a high-end product. We offer the best service. And I just think if you put a special offer on, you're devaluing your business and it looks like you're desperate to get business in where you're not. If you look at, I mean, I know I'm not Apple, but if you look at the company Apple, they never ever have a sale on their products because their products are the best. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of go by that, but I've got a feeling now by hearing your voice and talking about Groupon, you've done Groupons.
I'm of the same thought as you and was interested to see what you thought and how it worked in America, because I would say exactly the same as you. I've never done Groupon or Livin Social for the same reason, because I think I think you're right in it can devalue your product or your service, and I think that you get genuinely committed people when people just come to you because you're there, not because you've been on Groupon. You get the people that you really want to train, the people that will really give you everything, and you'll have the like the best relationship and get the best results out of them.
Like you see, I think when you've got the Groupons as well, people who are going to come, like I've used Groupon for some different services before, and now I'll not go to them until they've got a deal on, because I know they do deals. But also, that's one thing we keep away from, is doing deals as well. Our price is $149 a month at Brentwood and at Santa Monica, $169 at Brentwood. So we keep that. And we always get people coming in, what's your special deals?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, we haven't got any. We do our first classes free.
Mm-hmm.
That's our only thing we do. Because once someone tries it, they realise how good the product is without trying to blow my own trumpet so good, because it really is. And then if they want to get in shape, if they want to get fit and they want to come back and learn more, they can do that, you know.
So did you find giving your first class free, that's a really good way of getting people through the door as well?
It is, because I think that's really fair, getting the first class free, and just so people can then test it out, and even if they don't come back, they've tested out and they know. Especially with being boxing as well, people get intimidated to do it, even though, like, I'd say 70-80% of our clients is women doing boxing. It's still intimidating, and you feel silly when you come in and do it, but we've got our system down to a T now, how we can do it properly,
Have you had any real success stories, Tony? Like, have you got a favourite client that really stands out for you that's achieved loads or has overcome something to achieve amazing things?
Do you know what? I haven't got one in particular client. There's people in the gym who come and tells us, like this. For instance, there's this guy. He's 61 years old. And since we've opened the gym, it's like been his life. He's married, he's retired, he's got a few quid. But he comes to the gym now and he's training twice a day. He trains with a trainer and he does a class. And he keeps saying, Tony, this has really changed my life. I absolutely love it. I just want to get better at it, and it's really keeping us in shape. Another lady, she just keeps sending us emails. I've lost this much weight. I think she's lost 25 pounds. She's got another 15 pounds to go. And she cannot thank us enough. And when you see, I'm sure you've seen it before and other trainers, but when you really see that you've helped change someone's life and they're telling you, you can just see in their eyes or the way they're talking to you, or even the way they write an email, it's so much satisfaction that you've really helped someone and changed their life.
It's real job satisfaction, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best. It is the best.
I wanted to ask you as well, because I think this is something that a lot of people who work in fitness struggle with, and that is time management. So you're looking after your gyms, you're doing PT with people, you're teaching classes. What do you do to make sure that you fit it all in and you don't get too stressed out?
Oh.
Or do you not fit it in and do you get too stressed out?
I get stressed out. You know what I do? I have half a bottle of wine every night. That's the two. But I don't want to recommend that. I think, no, that really helps. No, I went half a year without drinking, and I was getting so stretched out. Start off with a big glass of wine a night, it really helps us. But the time management is important. Because now I'm running two gyms, I've got 17 trainers working for us. So it's tough, it's stressful, especially when you get trainers who's not putting in 100% of effort, you know, in the classes. The way we run it, we've got seven trainers in each class. So I want every single trainer to be given 100%. And when they're not, it pisses us off. I'm sorry if I swear.
That's all right.
But it does. So to keep all them under control, it's a stressful job. I've took a step back from doing me one-on-one clients, training one-on-one clients, and more running the business now because it's getting too much. And I've like we've just spoke about before we start the podcast, I've still a daughter like 3 months ago, and you know when you have kids, all I want to do is spend time with my daughter. And it's hard because I'm at the gym 12 hours a day, at both gyms, driving backwards and forwards, doing other stuff. But I think it's really... In fact, you give me some advice on this. Tell us how to time management. Tell us how to stop stressing out. Because it's tough.
Well, the way I do it, I'm a teetotaler, so I'm not doing the drinking half a bottle of wine every night. But my way of doing it is... blocking my time out into different sections and making sure that those different sections don't merge. So, like, on a Monday, my Monday morning is always one-to-one clients. And then my Monday afternoon is always admin work, and I won't let those two cross over. And then strictly from 3 o'clock onwards, that's my time with Heidi and Simon. I'd do things like I turn my phone off or put it on silent or I won't look at it so that my work and my home life don't cross. So for me, I'm either doing things where I'm working in my business, so I'm training my clients, I'm writing programs, etc., or I'm doing things that are pushing my business forward. So working on my laptop, building things on my website, launching new programs, doing marketing plans, etc., or I'm just living my own personal life. So I'm either doing one of those three things, and I try not to let the three cross over.
Yeah, I think that's important to have your personal life as well. Keep it separate.
And that is hard. I think that's the hardest thing to do when you've got your own business, but it definitely works for me. Tony, what's the future now for Box and Burn? Do you think you'll open another one? Are you going to go off and do something else in another direction?
Yeah, I also want to franchise it and get it bigger and better and spread it around. The trouble that we're having now, the biggest problem in the business is finding the trainers, finding the quality trainers. So if any listeners out there want to come, move to America, move to Los Angeles, come and work in Box and Burn, please do. But it's hard to find these quality trainers who's passionate. Do you know what I mean? Which I guess it would be pretty hard to be passionate when you're working for someone else. I think I would find it hard myself because it's my business. You know, I want everyone to be as passionate as me, which it's not really going to happen. But I want to keep growing and keep expanding and see how big we can get it. You know, our product is, like I keep saying, it's fantastic. And if you ever come to LA, I'd love for you to take a class. Well, the way we do it is great. So hopefully we can keep going in the same direction as we have. We've only been 2 years and we've got two gyms in real good areas. So let's see what happens.
Do you think you'd ever open one in the UK?
I don't know. There's been talks about it, but I really don't know. I've got a bunch of people who want to invest in Box and Burn in America, but so far it's just me and another trainer, Kevin Watson, who own the gyms, and we haven't allowed any investors, and we can do it ourselves. The UK, I don't know, maybe. We had a woman last week begging us to open one in New York. begging us, and I was like, oh, I want to move to New York and do that, but... We can't spread ourselves too thin.
Yeah.
There was another woman. This was mad. Wanted us to open one in Israel. She wanted to fly us to Israel, and work with trainers and open a boxing barn out there.
Wow, that's really cool.
I was mad, and I was like, ooh, I don't know. But nothing ended up coming from that. You know, like I say, I don't want to spread ourselves too thin. I think it's important to concentrate on getting what you've got perfect before you start doing it again.
Now, my final question. Well, I've got two questions left for you, but this one is, I think, whether you're a fitness professional listening or whether you're someone who's into health and fitness and into working out, I think everybody wants to know, what does the ex-Olympian do now to keep fit? What does your week look like?
Nothing at all. I don't work out. I do not work out.
No, Tony, don't lie.
I swear down. So I don't work out at all. Since I boxed, I've put like 30 pounds on. I'm not fat, but I was lean then. But I don't work out at all. I don't want to use that excuse. I haven't got time, because that's the worst excuse ever. But no, I don't enjoy it. I haven't got anyone to train us who can push us, because I think I've worked with the world very best trainers in the world, and I don't know. I've got a goal. Since I was 10 years old, I always had a goal to fight someone, or to go to the Olympics or box in some tournament. And I was had a diet all the way, time to make weight. So then when I retired from boxing, I had no fitness goals. I didn't have to make weight. So I can eat what I want. See, the thing is with fitness, and when you've got to do it, I had to train three times a day, 5 days a week, and then I used to train twice a day on the Saturday and have a Sunday off. When you have to do it, like, religiously, it's so tough mentally, and so when I didn't have to do it, you know, it was great, and I don't work out. But when I'm training people or teaching classes, it's kind of like a workout, you know. Mm. You're moving around with them, in the midst, and helping them. But
you know what? That's so interesting. That is really interesting, because that just goes to show that, like, without a goal, you know, it is hard to push yourself, and it is hard to be committed. That's really interesting. I think everyone listening will find that interesting, that coming from the background that you have, in your sporting background, that there is nobody that can push you like your coaches did, and there will never be a goal as big as going to the Olympics will ever be. And I think that's really interesting. And I definitely admire your honesty there.
Yeah, so now I just drink wine every night and get fat and don't train. but I think that's what it is. Like what you've just said, you know, it's really, really hard to get motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't got a goal. I haven't got any goals in fitness or in changing my body. And I'm really happy. I'm really, really happy now.
That's
so
good.
I think that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. If I start getting fat, and I would start making changes, or if I was unhealthy, but I feel like I'm healthy. I'm not really fat. I haven't got a six pack anymore, but I'm not really fat. I carry the weight well. But if that started to get out of line, I'd start training a little bit, you know. But
there's a lot to be said for being happy. So thank you for answering that question, really honestly. My next question is, if people want to find out more about you, if they want to follow you online, or they want to find out more about Box and Burn and what you do there, how can they do that?
Just Google Box and Burn, and I'll go on YouTube. There's videos of like classes and just things. Then they've got the Instagram, Box and Burn. It's all one word. It's B-O-X, the letter N, and then the word burn.
What's your Twitter handle?
No, mine's Tony_Jeffries. So that's it, really. And I'm going to try and start a podcast soon, in a week or so. And then if you send me this one once it's published, Katie, and I'll tweet it out there. I'll put it on me Facebook page and stuff as well.
Brilliant. Tony, you've been a great guest, and it's really interesting to hear what goes on the other side of the world, and how the fitness industry compares in the UK to the US. So thank you for everything that you've shared with us. And for everyone who's listened, if you've got any questions, any feedback on the podcast, please feel free to tweet me at KatieBulmer1, and I will see you all in the next episode. Bye.
You've been listening to the Katie Bulmer Cook Podcast Show. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and have a great day.